Hearkening to God is the title of tonight's exhortation, taken from Job chapter 33, verses 19 to 28. We have two thoughts. God speaks through suffering, verse 19 to 22, and men yielding to God, finding deliverance, verses 23 to 28. Matthew Henry, he observed well. He says, God has spoken once to sinners by their consciences to keep them from the paths of the destroyer, but they perceive it not. Are there times when God is trying to get our attention and somehow we are not giving him the attention he needs, that he is trying to get from us? Matthew Henry further says, therefore, God speaks twice. He speaks a second time and tries another way to convince and reclaim sinners. And that is by providences, afflictive and merciful, in which he speaks twice. So sometimes God allows us to go through afflictions in order to knock at our heart's door, knock harder at our heart's door, so that we would open our heart's door to him, so that we would give him our rightful attention, for he is the creator and the sustainer of our lives. Job complained much of his diseases and judged by them that God was angry with him. Do you feel that when you are sick, when you are not well, that it seems that God is dealing with you in some way? Well, his friends did so to him. And Job himself thought, why is God so harsh upon him? But Elihu shows that they were all mistaken. For God often afflicts the body in love, and the gracious designs of good to the soul. We do not understand about affliction, about pain. Why does God allow us to go through pain in our life? Have you ever wondered those times when God allows us to go through pain, when we are experiencing somehow unbearable distortions in our bodies, and we feel ourselves totally incapable of taking hold of life anymore? And so what do we do? Well, Elihu wants us to know that even in suffering, God is manifesting his love toward us. This is part of Elihu's discourse, Matthew Henry says, and will be of great use to us for the due improvement of sickness and in by which God speaks to men. Do you find that during the times of affliction you pray more? During the time when, you know, your body is feeling not so good, you feel yourself closer to God, that you are seeking him more, that you are willing to call upon him unceasingly, whereas in other times when things seem to be well, we neglect our communion with God. Somehow, it's a natural consequence of, our lack of understanding of the spiritual life that God has caused us to possess. What ought to be that fellowship and relationship that we should have with God? It is during those times when we call out to God. Psalm 107 says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are we glad, because they be quiet, So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. The word haven means a harbor. Right? A ship tossed in the great sea is brought to the desired safety of the harbor. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Right? The day when you are discharged from the hospital. No more going back there. Right? No more staying there. I'm well. I've been discharged. How good is the Lord? Well, we have a different perspective, isn't it, of our relationship with God. We draw closer to Him. We are more thankful to Him. So affliction has its uses, you know. That's what Elihu is saying to us. God allows us to go through affliction so that in the afflictions, right, we may be drawn closer to Him. In Psalm 107, we are given the picture of a storm and its rage. And the actor, who is the one causing the storm to come, is the Lord. Given here in the third person, He. And He is also the one who made the storm to come. What a relief for the passengers in the boat. It is as it were speaking to the people of God, bidding them to fear not in the time of storm. For our God is able to calm every storm so that the waves thereof are still. This is the assurance that God gives to His people. They are to look to Him at the sign of any trouble. He is able to protect them through the vicissitudes of life. Before the coming of the storm, before the people of God cry unto their God, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Psalm 107 and verse 28. Isn't it so? When you are in trouble and you don't pray, and you just depend on your own strength, which you realize that it's not sufficient, that you are lacking, and it's so lacked that you are in trouble, that you are feeling so fearful and so frightened. No solution in sight. No means by which to calm the brewing and raging storm. Such is often the circumstances of life. God allows us to go through, but we are reminded of God's presence with us. We are also told that God sent a storm. For He commandeth and raises the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. Psalm 107 verse 25. It is like any other day in the psalmist's life. And he tells us it was the day of the storm. And there he's going to experience God's powerful presence with him in the storm that would arise. So, you know, in a day, quiet day, a new day that comes, you don't know what will confront you that day. They that go down to the seas in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. They mount up to the heaven and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro like a drunken man. And are at their wits, and then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He did so to try their hearts, to know their Lord is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. If they have Him as their Lord, they are assured of His help as they lean upon Him in their troubles. This was what Job was experiencing, right? In the calm storm or in a calm day, there's nothing to talk about, right? He wakes up early in the morning and prays for all his children. Nothing much to, you know, look forward to, in the sense that, you know, every day is a good day. Right? But when the storm comes, when we, you know, find ourselves pushed, plagued, the body chastened, then life takes a different turn, isn't it? Verse 19, God speaks through suffering. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. Yeah, have you visited somebody in hospital? And he says, I have no appetite. He cannot eat. Somehow the food is tasteless. But you can't go on not nourishing yourself. Though the food may be tasteless, you need to brace yourself up to eat. Do you go about encouraging someone like that before? I remember saying that. Someone you know is getting weaker. And, you know, in the hospital, when you are facing pain, and you're not well, and you're not, you know, just don't have the, we said, don't have the mood, right? Don't have the appetite. How difficult life can be, can become. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones were not, that were not seen, stick out. In other words, he's growing so thin and bony, right? So malnourished. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. The patient describes his extremity, Matthew Henry says. See what work sickness makes. The sick man is full of pain over him. He is chastened with pain upon his bed, as pain, as such pain as confines him to his bed, or so extreme the pain that he can get no ease, not on the bed, and he could not repose himself. Pain and sickness will turn a bed of down into a bed of thorns. Right? You may be on the most comfortable bed, but if you are in pain, right, that comfortable bed seems like a bed of thorns, isn't it? I tossed to and fro, I couldn't sleep. Pain is born with more difficulty than sickness. Right? Have you experienced pain before? You know, after surgery, you are given painkiller. Right? And painkiller comes in different forms. You can consume it orally by tablet, or it can be through a needle, right, that goes directly to your bloodstream. And sometimes, you know, the painkiller didn't get through. Right, someone said, forgot to open the clip. That's why it's not flowing. That's why, you know, you're not receiving the painkiller. That's why you're still in pain. But how do you operate that? Wow. It's not a difficult thing, and yet it so seems so complicated. And the poor man sits there in pain, couldn't relieve himself for a whole day, until someone comes and says, hey, this is what you can do. There you go. You pull the plug, and there comes the tranquilizer to alleviate, to relieve your pain. Pain is such a forbearing thing, isn't it, in the life of a believer. And why does God send pain? Well, for us to draw close to Him, for us to experience His mercy, so that, you know, after the whole ordeal, we can praise God for His marvelous power to act on our behalf, to help them, to help us. And we are instructed to meditate upon the mercy of God that endureth forever. God's mercy in our life, God's goodness in our life. It is in those times of affliction and pain, in those times when we are staggering helplessly, in those times when we are overwhelmed by the beating waves, in those times when we trace our deliverance to Him, when He responds to our call at the moment of distress. How marvelous is the Lord. What a relief. Your prayer is answered. Psalm 107 verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He was their very present help when they called out to Him. And the psalmist is able to say of the many, many instances of His deliverance, that God's mercy indeed endureth forever. And God's people can count on Him every time. Do you realize that? You can count on Him every time. That He doesn't fail you. His mercy is not exhausted. His mercy has not been cut off, will not be cut off from us. What we do not deserve, we deserve punishment. And yet God was willing to save us, to relieve us. And therefore the people of God must be assured of the presence of God in their lives. It is during those times that we would draw close to Him and we would experience His nearness. Isaiah 41 verse 14 says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." And they call Him worm. Right? Indeed, we are but worm. "And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine." Do you feel that God is your Father in heaven? That you have an omnipotent parent, Father, that is able to help you, and that you are able to sing, "How marvelous His love, how bountiful His grace. Oh, what a blessed hope that He is coming again someday. Oh, what a blessed hope." Well, God brings us through and shows us till He reaches out to us. The man has lost his appetite, the common effect of sickness. He abhorreth bread, the most necessary food and dainty meat, which he most delighted in and formerly relished with a great deal of leisure. Matthew Henry says, this is good reason why we are not so desirous of dainties, because they are deceitful meat. We may soon made as sick of them as we are now fond of them. Those who live in luxury when they are well, if ever they come by reason of sickness to loathe dainty meat, may with grief and shame reap their sin in their punishment. Matthew Henry says, let us not inordinately love the taste of meat, for the time will come when we will even loathe the sight of meat. Right? You can you can say, hey, I have money to buy. I can buy the best food. I can have it 3 meals a day, even 5 meals a day. You know? And I can have it every day. The best food. I can afford it. I can buy it. But here, you know, we realize that, hey, we don't have the appetite to eat it, you know. You have all the, what do you say, the lobster and the, and what have we? And yet, you know, we look at it and stare at it and say, what is this to me when I don't have my life? What is this food to me? Right? Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Psalm 107 verse 18. He become a perfect skeleton, Matthew Henry says. Nothing but skin and bones. By sickness, perhaps a few days sickness, his flesh, which was fat and fair, is consumed away. That it cannot be seen. It is strangely wasted and gone, and his bones, which are buried in flesh, now stick out. You may count his ribs, may tell of his bones. The soul is that is well nourished with the bread of life, sickness will not make lean. Right? You realize that when if your spirit is filled, your spiritual life is strong, even in those times of your affliction. Even in those times of affliction, you will not. You find that God gives you the grace to be sustained, a good spirit, a peace that is in your heart, to go through it. That's the cultivation of a spiritual understanding in our lives. You see, men yielding to God and finding deliverance. Verse 23 to 28, that's our second thought. We move a little quickly. Here, verse 23 says, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto men his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Yeah, you remember the man Naaman? He was plagued with leprosy. He was a Syrian general. Right? His body was withering away. Then his Jewish Hebrew slave servant said to him, hey, you know that there's a God in Israel? Would you go and look for the prophet in Israel? Perhaps he may show you the way out. And what happened? Well, he went to the king in Israel, and the king said to him, who am I to heal leprosy? Well, go to the prophet. And so the word of the prophet came, or the word from God came and said, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And he said, what is the Jordan River? In Syria, in where the place I have, in Damascus, you have much better rivers, you know. But if it will heal you, sir, why not? Why not? So he went and he dipped himself in the river Jordan 7 times. And at the 7th time, his skin became as that of a baby. His leprosy was healed. You see, when we draw near to God, when we come to Him for relief, we find it. Verse 26, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto men his righteousness. That's what Job experienced. Though he was going down and down and down, but in his sight, right, his faith was going up and up and up, and he was able to see as though through a keyhole eternity, or the relief, the redeemer, the help, the light. When you have God, when you see God, when you see the presence of God, then, you know, there will be a change. Although you are in the darkest of circumstances, right? Like Paul and Silas, when they were in the prison, right, they were able to sing. Right? They were in the Philippian prison, and there they are in the middle of the night singing. And how wonderful it is, singing. But they have just been bitten and they are in stocks. Well, the Lord said to them that you are in walking in His will. His grace will be sufficient for you. He maketh the storm a calm. Right? The word maketh means He rises. He does not sit unresponsive, unmoved, indifferent to our cry for help. But He rises up and causes the waves to be still. He maketh the storm a calm. Right? The word still means to be silent. The raging waves of the storm reduces to a harmless calm. This is the result of His intervening in our lives. Right? The disciples of Jesus experienced two terrible storms in the Sea of Galilee. The first storm, Jesus was with them in the boat. But in the second storm, Jesus was not with them in the boat, but both times He was their present help. What was the Lord teaching them? Well, that He will be there for them, whether He is in the boat or outside the boat. So the man Trench said beautifully, he says, in the first storm, He was present with them in the ship, with them. And thus, they must have felt all along that if it came to the worst, they might just rouse Him, while the mere sense of His presence must have given them the sense of a comparative security. But He will not have them to be clinging only to the sense of His bodily presence. They must not be as ivy, needing always an outward support, but as hardy forest trees, which can be brave, which can brave a blast, and this time He puts them forth into danger alone, even as some loving mother bird trusts her fledging from the nest, that they may find their own wings and learn to use them. He awakened them in a confidence in His ever-ready help. As He walked on the water, right, they must have, you know, it must have shocked them, and they may be despaired, you know, how He could reach them, and yet He was there with them. In the fourth watch of the night, He appeared beside them, teaching them for all their afterlife, right, all the times after that, in all coming storms of temptation, that He is near them. That however He may not be seen by their bodily eyes, however they may be cut off from His assistance, yet He is indeed a very present help in trouble. So do you have some trouble in your workplace today? Is the Lord with you? Well, the Lord is certainly with you, and He wants you to know that He is with you. How does He, do you know that He is with you? Well, this is what the scripture tells us. And this is what the Lord wants His disciples to know, that He is with them. As we go through a bad deal, as we go through a difficult time, He is with us. And the Lord wants us to know. And we thank the Lord, right, that even in the most difficult of circumstances, remember Stephen was stoned to death in the most difficult of circumstances. There the Lord appeared to him, standing up, ready to receive him to glory. Be of good cheer. There is a way out. The sick man, lying in his bed since his birth, when he saw Jesus, Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. Arise, walk. And how he walked. As we yield ourselves to God, in conclusion, we find his peace and strength coming upon our hearts to undergird through the afflictions that he allows us to undergo. We are exhorted to give thanks continually to our marvelous God for his care in our lives as we renew our commitment to his care for us. There is a gladness in the hearts of God's people after he calmed our hearts to right the storms of life. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us by thy grace and calm us so that we may, in our affliction, know that thou art there with us and thy mercy indeed endureth forever. Strengthen us and steel our hearts. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.